And then I'm going to invite up Dave Hessler. He has spoken here before. When our board did some board training with a fellow church, he was actually one of the speakers there. And, oh yes, kids, you can be dismissed. I said I would dismiss you, and then I forgot. And this week, when I knew I was going to be doing a course, and I wasn't sure how I was going to fit it all in, my husband was like, well, you could ask other people, should I call your dad? And I was like, well, I could call my dad, and I could see if he would have a message that could be encouraging to us in this season of our church. And he said yes. And I wasn't going to say this, and I could have told you this later, not in front of other people, but sometimes I feel like I need to be honest about things because I'm a temporary pastor, and I want you guys to know some of the things that happen when you feel like there's something on Sunday that is important that you have to make sure it's going to happen. But because my dad was willing to come speak last night in after a busy week, instead of feeling like I needed to do something for Sunday morning, I was able to sit with just one kid because the other two had plans. And Stanley and I sat and we watched Clifford while cuddling our new puppy, and it was just such a delightful moment that I was able to do, partly because our board has been so clear that we want our church to be a place where people matter more than what's happening on Sunday morning, but also because my dad, when I called him this week, he was like, sure, I'll come. So I appreciate that. And I know that, I think God will honor that. Anyway, so I'm sorry I get embarrassed when I cry, but I do think it's important to share these things, partly because I know I'm not going to be here forever, and you guys are going to have other pastors in your life, and I want you just to appreciate some of the complexity that is here. So I will be embarrassed, but I'm still glad I told you.
Thank you. It's good to be here this morning. There's not a huge crowd. Looks pretty good, though. You look pretty good. Especially the people, the really important people who are at the back in the nice chairs. Do you have to pay extra for those chairs? Or, you know, Oh, I see. Okay. I was thrilled that the kids were here for the service. I was reading something about being an intergenerational church. I'm going to come down here because it keeps me from looking down on you. That was a joke, okay. I was reading about being an intergenerational church. My wife is fond of saying that you should always preach like you're preaching to an 8-year-old, because we really think at an 8-year-old level. That's what she said. I need something to stand behind to hide myself. I think that kids who are about 8 years old or 9 years old can think about things in a very cool way. My 8-year-old grandson was present. I got a T-shirt for Christmas that says, Grandpa, the man, the myth, the bad influence. So I was walking to school with them this week, my two grandsons, one who's 8 and the other who's 6, I think. And I was encouraging them about their mom. And I said, your mom, Vicky's sister, she's a school board trustee, and she's going to university full-time, and she's a mother of 3. And I say, oh, your mom's really impressive. She's working really hard, and she's going to school, and she's getting good marks. She's pretty awesome. And then I thought they'd think badly of their dad. So I said, oh, and your dad, he's pretty awesome too. He's a social worker, and he helps other social workers, and he really helps people, and he's a good influence where he works. And then I said, and you! You're a good influence, too. Like at school, I said this to Josiah, who's eight. There was a kid who was getting very violent in school, and he actually attacked a teacher. And my grandson, who's eight, he came to the teacher's defense and stood between the kid who was attacking the teacher and the teacher. And I said, Josiah, you're a really good influence, too. Josiah stood there and thought for a minute, the eight-year-old, and he said, Mom's a good influence, Dad's a good influence, and I'm a good influence. I guess you're the only bad influence in the family, right? Kids are very much a part of what God is doing among us. Because he does among us. And God doesn't think that your importance depends on how short you are, or how tall you are, or how old you are. God thinks you are tremendously important. And God has a plan for you. When I was a little kid, we went to church all the time, Sunday morning and some Sunday night. And I remember when I was about 11 years old, standing at the front of a church and praying, because we would sometimes sing back there, and then people would say, if you want to come and pray, you could come and sing and pray. So we would come to the front, and we'd sing and just be singing to God. One of the songs we sang was Jesus, Use Me. Please, God, don't refuse me, because surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. A few years ago, not many, I was driving from Toronto to Northern Ontario. And I'm thinking, what am I doing here? This was an 8-hour drive from Toronto North. Why am I doing this? And I got the impression that God said to me, do you remember when you were 11 years old and you stood at the front of the church and said, God, if there's anything I can do for you, I want to do it. Do you remember that? I heard you, and I said, you can work for me. This morning, God wants you to know that God has heard every time you've told him you love him. And God has heard every time that you said, God, if there's anything I can do that would be important, I'd really like to do it. God heard you. God has a plan. And he wants to use you to help fulfill it. Would you bow your head in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. I thank you that we can stand with confidence, whether it's in the church or outside, and we can share all that we are, the good and the bad and sometimes the ugly, because you have a plan for us. Work in us, we pray, to will and do according to your good pleasure. Use us, we pray. Amen. Well, my daughter told me that I have a scripture that is a favorite. And that's it. That's it. Now. All glory to God who is able, through his mighty power, at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. God is able to do more than we can hope or imagine. But he deigns, he decides, he chooses to do it through us. I think so that people can say, wow, if God can use David, maybe God could use me too. God has a plan. He wants to use us. This is an apple. Perhaps you've seen them before. They all look pretty much the same. Some of them, though, are green. God loves them too. Even the green ones. Even if you feel a little green, maybe you should need to know God loves you. Someone said, excuse me for chewing, it's the illustration. Someone has said that our behaviors are like the peeling on the apple, the outside. People see the behavior, but they can't see our motives. They can't see what we really are like inside. Now, I don't know whether I can do this. I don't think I can. I'd like to take a big enough bite to get to the core. Now, we're all pretty much the same at our core. We're all people. We have good aspirations and bad ones. Sometimes we're just grumpy and miserable. You are. I remember a great word of wisdom my daughter said one time. We were around our house and everybody, you know, ever get up some morning and everybody in the family is just impossible to live with? I said over breakfast one morning, I don't know what's wrong with all of you people this morning, but you're impossible. And Vicky, might have been 14, 13 at the time, she said, Dad, it might not be us. We have our good days and our bad days. We may look a little different on the outside, but at our core, we're the same. Yet our flesh, the flesh of the apple, that's where things are really different. What'd you say, Stan? No, I didn't. Too much. When people get to know us, they find we're not like everybody else. But God can still use us. Can I have the next? Can you give me the next slide? I find my hands are busy. Next one. Next slide, please. Not working? Oh, I see. Okay. I got thrown off a little bit, so I'm going to pray again, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you that you're a good God and you are not thrown by anything. Make us more like you, we pray. Amen. Now, when I was a little kid, I had my own challenges. Often those challenges get bigger when you get when you're a teenager. I don't recommend being a teenager to anybody. I find it really hard to be a teenager. I really would struggle with who I, like the way I looked. I don't know. Brides always look great on their wedding day. But we don't look all that good all the time. And as a teenager, I really hated the way I looked. I used to complain to God. I actually went through terrible, terrible times as a teenager because I didn't like the way I looked. If I could have, I would have ripped my... I just would have done harm. But then I read a portion of Scripture in Psalm 139. That Scripture that Vicki read this morning. God, you saw me before I was born. You saw my going out and my coming in. And you saw when I was put together. That's the verse. That God saw you when you were put together. He designed you. Now, if you have your natural hair color, I haven't had one for a long time. God planned that. The size of your nose, the size of your ears, the way you would wrinkle, the pallor of your skin as you got older. Psalm 139 says God saw each of us and he designed the way we would be put together. I find in my life that I have great compassion for those who just don't measure up because I believe that I never measured up. I didn't look as good as other people. And I used to complain to God and then I looked in the Word and I find that God made you the way you are for a reason, because he had a unique purpose for you to fulfill. I gave you notes when you came in. I'd encourage you to look at them. To consider who you are. God made you. He, at your best, what are your strengths? What can you do well? I was so thrilled. I can't remember her name. Who was, you know, there was a mom and a dad and a kid. What's her name? Macy? Macy. God gave her the ability to sing. And she's willing to use that for God. The Bible says God put you together. He gave you strengths and abilities because he wants you to use them. Now, I know a kid by the name of Stan, and he's really good at climbing on mountains of snow or through snow. He's kind of a little bit of a bulldozer. But so are you. You're a bit of a bulldozer in some areas. You push through. And God made you that. When you were in your mother's womb, he molded you and made you so that you'd have some strengths. I encourage you to take a few moments. At my best, I'm. At my worst, I'm. Often those characteristics of us, they're complementary. We have some stick-to-it-ishness. But we can also be a little stubborn. Now, I think this might not work well. I was going to say, if you are a little stubborn, put up your hand. But we could do it this way. If your spouse is a little stubborn, put up your hand. No, nobody put up their hand. That was very wise, you know. God made you Jesus and the cross, when he died for you, didn't just die for you at your best. He knew you at your worst, and he still loved you. When God called you to be a Christian, he knew you at your best and your worst, and he loved you anyway. Who are you at your core? God knew, and he loved you. He enjoys you, even your strange sense of humor. Some people might think my sense of humor is too strange. Does God always laugh at my jokes? Yours? I'm convinced he loves you and he enjoys you. Your values reflect who God created you to be. When I made a commitment to Jesus, or when I truly surrendered my life to him, I said, God, you can be God of my life. I want to serve you. And then I discovered that I didn't do that very well. I discovered that I had significant weaknesses. And they gave me a significant problem as a Christian. I struggled with being some things, with not being who I wanted to be, and with doing things I didn't want to do. Sometimes, even when I failed, I would sense God saying, I love you anyway. But I would do some things that I knew were wrong, and I was ashamed of them. And when I was supposed to be a Christian and wanted to, professing to be a Christian and wanting to be a Christian, I found myself struggling significant in my spiritual life. I would go to God over and over again and say, God, forgive me for doing things I know I'm wrong. I know that are wrong. And then I'd go. I'd be doing fine for a while. I'd fall flat on my face. I'd fail. I'd be ashamed. I'd go back to God. And say, God, please forgive me. I'm so ashamed. And then I had a breakthrough. One day when I was on my knees, it struck me that I was going to do that for the rest of my life. So I prayed differently. God, every time I rely on myself, I fall flat on my face. God, forgive me. Every time I fall flat on my face, I will come back to you and ask you to forgive me. But God, help me not to rely on myself. And he did. That area where I struggled, God gave me significant victory. And I found that he could even use it In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10, Paul says, your strength, you're teaching me to rely on your strength in the midst of my weaknesses. Thank you for that. Psalm 139 speaks of how God made us when we were in our mother's womb. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 speaks of how God can even use us in our weaknesses. And Romans 8, 28 and 29 speaks of how God can use us regardless of the circumstance. Did you ever get mad at God? How many ever got mad at God? Few. If you haven't, you will. You'll say, God, how could you do this to me? Did you ever get mad at your mother? You ever get mad at your father? Well, sometimes they did something worthy of you getting mad. But sometimes they didn't. Sometimes things happen to us. And we say to God, God, how could you let that happen? God, how could you let that happen to me, to my kids, to my family, to the people around me? How can you allow war? How can you allow that awfulness? And then you find out that God can even use that thing that happened to you that was awful. To help you to change the world. God loves you. And he wants to use you. But not alone. There's in here some scriptures that I've given you, and I encourage you to take this home and work through it this afternoon. But the last scripture that I've got for you this morning is in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 12, it is, and 27. And basically what it says is that you are not alone. When you were a kid, if you were like me, you said, God, I really want to serve you, and I, if you let me, I'll do my best. But if you're around for a while, you find out your best is not enough. You can't do it by yourself. Well, the truth is, we are not supposed to do it by ourselves. God has given you other people who are as failure prone as you are to help you, to pray for you, to be there for you, to forgive you when you're stupid. Anybody stupid around here? All the time. God made you. He saw you. He put you together to be a delight to him. And he knows your faults. He loves you anyway. He knows your circumstances. And he can use you anyway. But not alone. As a new Christian, I said, God, I'll do anything you want. As I got a little older, I began knowing that I couldn't do everything I wanted, and some things I didn't want to do, I did anyway, and I had to ask for forgiveness. And as I got a little older, I found out I desperately needed the help of the church. Now, this thing down here about praying and saying, God, forgive me, every time I rely on myself, I fall flat. That works. Until it doesn't. One day, I was trying to serve God, and I got close to that habit that kept really causing me to fall flat on my face. And it scared me. God, I don't want to go back there. God, I can't go back there. God, but I'm falling. I'm failing again. And God dropped something into my heart. You don't have to face this alone. Do you have anybody that I gave you that you could ask for help? I thought, well, can anybody help me? Maybe if I just ask them to pray for me. Maybe I've got this guy, and he seems to be a good friend, and I think he could handle that I'm struggling with sin. Maybe if I told him. Maybe if I ask him to hold me accountable. So before I got off my knees that day, I said, God, tomorrow morning, I'm going to meet him and ask him to pray for me and hold me accountable. Next morning, I saw him at a meeting, and I said, hey, I need to talk to you. Can you come over here? So we went in a room, and I said, look, I've been struggling with this area for a long time, and I keep falling flat. And I don't want to do it again. Would you hold me accountable? Would you pray for me first? And he said, oh, I'll pray for you, Dave. And I said, would you ask me how I'm doing? I said, now, I want a coat, because I want you to ask me all the time how I'm doing with that sin. He says, okay, what's the code? And I says, it's going to be a really sneaky one. You ask me how I'm doing. And I'll tell you how I'm doing. He said, but I always do that. And he said, yeah, but this will mean something different. This will mean, how are you doing with that? After that day, occasionally I have struggles with that same area. But it made all the difference in the world, and it makes all the difference in the world to know that you're not alone. To know that there's somebody praying for you and someone who will hold you accountable. Paul said, I struggle with the foolishness of preaching. The moral of the story this morning is that whether you're old or young or tall or short, God has a plan for you. No matter what you look like, God put you together with strengths and abilities to use for him. You've got weaknesses, but you've got a church to pray for you. God has an incredible plan for you. God has a wonderful plan for your church. Trust him. Lean on one another. Help one another. Love one another. Even though you get so frustrated with one another, sometimes you could wring one another's necks, if ever you do that. But know that God loves you and God wants to use you beyond your imagination. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you saw us and you see us inside right to our core. You long for us to be a delight. Mold us and make us and help us to help one another to be the church that you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Vicky.
When we were talking about how we were going to close the service, I said, well, I was given advice once to never let a guest close the service. He's the one that gave me that advice. So as we leave, I'm just going to give a blessing, as has become our habit here. And as we go out, may God give us the eyes to see ourselves as we truly are. May he give us the eyes to see our strengths and to be aware of our weaknesses, to give an honest assessment of ourselves. But then may he also give us the eyes to see those that he has placed in our lives. May he reveal those that we are meant to encourage, and may he reveal those that we may need to ask to enter our lives in a certain way. And as we go, we may have met this morning as the church, but may we go and live our lives even more deeply as the church, the body of Christ, who have been called to be a certain way in the world, but never called to be alone. May you be blessed this week.